Everybody gonna dance tonight. Everybody gonna feel alright. Everybody gonna dance around tonight. Everybody gonna dance around. Everybody gonna hit the ground. Everybody gonna dance around tonight. Well, you can come on to my place if you want to. You can do anything you wanna do. Everybody gonna dance tonight. Everybody gonna feel alright. Everybody gonna dance around tonight.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and we are recording our final podcast for 2017, so we're just able to get this one in under the wire for its 10th anniversary, which is really hard to believe, but it's Paul McCartney's 2007 album, Memory Almost Full, and we thought it'd be a good way to end the year because it's got a lot of fun McCartney stuff on it, and we've left Paul out in the dust a little bit. We haven't talked about him too much recently, so we thought it'd be fun to dig into one last McCartney album for the year.
Spoiler alert, that's not the last time you'll hear whistling.
No. No, that's right.
We're going through this album.
No, you're listening to the opening track and sort of a single track, Dance Tonight, that he did perform in concert and seemed to be a favorite of his, and we'll get into all the details of it. But I think it's going to be fun to talk about it because this album, for me, is steeped in a lot of history. Because when it came out, I spent a lot of a summer, part of the summer. It came out in June of 2007. I spent a lot of that summer on a boat hanging out with friend of the show Doug. In Branson, Missouri, and there's a CD player on his boat, and so we listened to this album constantly, nonstop. So it's very imprinted in my head. So I'm really excited to hear your thoughts about it. But it was Paul's first Starbucks release. I'm curious what you think of that, because.
It's odd. It was I believe the first Starbucks.
Yes.
Release.
Correct.
It's strange that it is that. I guess it's not that odd that Starbucks sells some music too, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of, that's the strange part to me. But I remember it because it was one of the first things I bought, first Paul things I bought without getting a physical copy.
Oh, just the download.
I got it on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
So, I believe there was a bonus, one of these bonus tracks we were going to talk about was available. Strange release. Now it seems like, buying on iTunes, that's like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. That's even like very dated now because people just stream everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, because I do remember seeing this in the actual Starbucks store. I don't think I bought it there, but I remember actually seeing it. So, Paul trying out some new marketing techniques for this particular album.
It worked.
It did work. It was actually quite popular. Yeah. It was a top 5 charter in both the UK and the US. So
yeah. Number 3, I believe it opened at number 3 in the US market. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. And it has a very strange genesis because it was a lot of it was started with his current band. They've been together forever now, it seems. But they started recording it in 2003, and then it kind of sat, and he worked on Chaos and Creation in the Backyard and released that in 2005, and then came back and finished up this album a couple years later. So had a long gestation. And again, like Chaos and Creation, that album, Paul had that Nigel Godrich for the production. This album also has a producer, and we're not sure if it's David Kane or David Kahn. But do you know much about his background or who he worked with or anything?
I was looking at his discography.
Yeah.
And it includes his biggest thing was the Grammy Award winner for Album of the Year in 1995, MTV Unplugged, Tony Bennett.
Oh, wow.
Otherwise, he worked with Fishbone, The Strokes, Sugar Ray, The Bangles, Stevie Nicks, Teddy Thompson, one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. New Order, Lana Del Rey, so a lot of hits makers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I gotta say, this is not my favorite produced album, particularly the mastering of it. I just feel like it's way loud and not enough quieter dynamics. Mm. It's as if he recorded all the instruments and then just potted everything up, the whole album.
Yeah.
And then there's some really strange things, like at the very end of Dance Tonight, have you noticed this, that it fades for, but it's not like a normal fade.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can tell the song's about the end in a normal way, and it just gets quieter for no good reason. So and a lot of the choices in some of the songs, which we'll get to as we talk to the individual songs, are sort of like seem very arbitrary to me. Like Why this keyboard part in like Dance Tonight, which you just heard? Why this keyboard part that's just kind of like, I don't know. I don't get it. So,
I mean, the original album itself had 13 tracks on it, and then there were these, like you mentioned, there was a bonus track on iTunes, and then a couple others, one in Japan, I believe, and. So we're going to talk about a total of 16 tracks because there's the 13 and then three extras, in one case I'm going to argue I think one of the extras should have been an album track, which we're going to do this in patented Chris and Dave fashion here where we each made a list and I'll let you introduce this. How are we organized? We're not just going to go right through the album straight through here. We've got some categories.
Yeah, we thought we did this before when we did what was it, the George Harrison album Extra Texture, where we did read all about it, read some about it, and then don't read.
Yeah.
This we needed four categories. One of the categories, of course, is Almost Full. We have Full. Those are really, really great ones. Then we have Almost Empty, and then we have a few in the empty category. So we'll get to those. I wanted to talk a little bit about a couple strange things about this album too. One is, since we're cutting all these songs up, I wanted to talk about this right off the bat. There's a 5-song medley.
Yes.
Is it a medley? It doesn't make any... they're calling... In McCartney's interviews, he seems like, oh, this is like the best thing since Abbey Road Side B. I haven't done this in such a long time. But it just seems like regular songs that they kind of stuck together that didn't have very good endings.
Right.
That they just sort of like stuck together, pasted a little bit of weird stuff in the middle of or at the end of one of them to make it kind of seem like a medley. How does that come off?
A couple things to piggyback on that. And there was an interview that you can also listen to on streaming on Spotify or iTunes Music or Amazon. And he talks all about the album, but he makes that comment that, oh, I haven't done this type of medley since Abbey Road, but maybe he'd forgotten that he did it on Red Rose Speedway too. There was a medley there. but that, you know, that's just an odd point, but yeah, I think they're loosely connected. A couple of the medley tunes are in the same key, so there's at least some musical connection. He's also talking a lot on this album about nostalgia and looking back, and the first two songs of the medley are definitely nostalgic. So there's that, but I don't know. I mean, they're all, I guess they're all kind of nostalgic in a way.
Yeah, I do think that this album, one of its positive attributes is that the theme is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a great title.
Yeah.
And I think there are good songs that reflect the theme very strongly, which we'll get right to, I'm sure, off the top. I'm glad you brought up that Paul interview track, though.
Yeah.
Because there, if you do anything, listen to Paul talks about the music of Memory Almost Full. It's really hilarious. There's some very funny parts. He even cracks up the you can tell whoever's in there interviewing him. At some point, he cracks everybody up.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul in interviews sometimes sounds dumber about the songs.
He does.
Than he actually probably is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there's this sort of weird awkwardness he gets in these interviews.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are a lot of kind of telling quotes that I'll bring up throughout the thing. Okay, and then there's one last little weird thing, which is this anagram business.
What do you know? What's this?
So, Memory Almost Full is an anagram of For My Soulmate, LLM. That's Ooh. The initials of Linda Louise McCartney.
Really?
So, and as you know, this album was finished and released kind of right as the divorce was happening.
With Heather. Right? Yeah.
After the divorce. And I watched several interviews. And if the divorce was brought up, he was like, oh, I'm just not talking about that. Yeah. I'm good. Everything's good. I'm just not going to talk about it. But someone asked him about this weird anagram thing. He's like, oh, well. I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah,
it's strange. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then he sort of copped to like, well, it wasn't. I didn't intend it. So he basically backed off of that and said no.
Yeah, right. That's interesting. Anyway. I had not heard that before. But you're right though. You listen to that interview. It runs about a half hour, but it goes by quickly. He always acts like very like he doesn't really know how any of the songs happen, and it's all a mystery. And I guess you know that's just typical how most artists are. They don't want to give up too much of the dirt. But there is one comment that he made a couple times that does make a lot of sense, and I think about it on this album as well as going all the way back when he talks about how he writes songs as if he were someone else, and he likes characters. And mm-hmm. he likes to pretend to be, you know, tell a story and make things up. And I remember John Lennon made a quote, or there was a quote from John that said something like, Paul makes up these stories like a novelist and all these characters. You know, I write about me, but Paul makes up these people. And yeah. there's some of that on here for sure.
Yeah.
That was at least sort of a revealing find from that interview. So
Well, let's get into
let's
it.
Let's get into let's, it here. Let's,
so you... How many songs do you have in the full category?
In the full category, which are the ones I think are the best on the album, I have 3.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I have 2.
Okay. Okay.
So let's talk about your first choice. And this will be in, obviously, we're not going to do this album in chronological order of the songs.
Right.
So we're jumping around here. So it could be anything.
Yes.
What's your first choice?
My first choice
full?
Is Ever Present Past, which is the second tune on the album. And it did get some notoriety as well. There was a video that goes along with it, and actually a cool little video of Paul demonstrating how to play it, because he plays everything himself on it. So we can listen to a little bit of Ever Present Past, and I'll be curious to hear if it's on your list.
Too much on my plate. Don't have no time to be a decent lover. I hope it isn't too late. Searching for the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past. I've got too much on my mind. I think of everything to be discovered. I hope there's something to find. Searching through the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past. The things I think I did.
So Ever Present Past, yes, which it has a striking similarity to the Duke Ellington standard Don't Get Around Much Anymore that begins with the line, Miss the Saturday Dance. Very similar vocal melody there, Paul. But yeah, I've always found this one to be very attractive. It's a pretty catchy tune. Has a lot of good McCartney-isms, like some and woos on it. Little nuances. And it's, again, the idea of nostalgia here, looking back at, well, he's looking at the past, but also it's always with you, even in the present. And mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty interesting thought. So I like this one. And it's kind of vintage sounding, too, like sort of Strawberry Fields, Sgt. Pepper-y with the effects.
Yeah, this is in my full category. Paul said, you know, sometimes you just sit down and try to write a pop song. No deep meaning in it. But I do think that there's some meaning in it, and it really fits that theme. And I think it's an excellent tune, and it really catchy.
Yeah.
Anytime it pops up on a, you know, shuffle or something, I'm always pleased to hear it. So, Two fulls.
Excellent.
Forever Present Past. Now, my other full, which we won't play, we'll go out with the end of this song, and I think this will be no surprise to longtime listeners, is the song, criminally underrated song, You Tell Me.
Yes.
I love it. Once again, it just completely fits the theme of the album, the fallacy of memory and aging and what that does to it. I find it very poignant. You remember that a song, it's like an old timey song called Oh Yes, I Remember It Well, where it's like a duet and they're trying to remember things. Like she's like, was it in New York? No, it was in, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, I remember it well.
Yeah.
As if they remembered it perfectly.
Right.
Well, that's what I've always liked You Tell Me, because it's sort of like that, you know. Mm-hmm. When was that summer when it never rained? And he talked a little bit on the interview about, you know, it seems like when you're thinking about when you're a kid, you don't remember like rainy days and stuff like that. You know? So,
which is funny from a person from Liverpool. I would think it's raining all the time there. So,
if you listen to any clip, dude, in that interview, you got to hear him when he's talking about, oh, yeah, a cardinal flew by. So I put a cardinal in there, and then a hummingbird go, oh, I'll have you.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
A lot of it was just there when I was writing it. But I think it just, I love that song. It's one of my favorite late period McCartney songs.
Yes, really. I would concur. It's also on my list for full. So you and I are both two thumbs up on You Tell Me.
We were gonna have words if I was thinking before.
Oh, like, no.
And I hope You Tell Me is not.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Like,
empty list. I'm gonna be enraged.
Oh no, not at all. No, we're totally in sync on that one. My third track that I put in the full category is the song See Your Sunshine, which is a song I hadn't listened to the interview before I noticed something about it, but that really stood out. And it's the amazing bass playing that my friend Doug, who's friend of the show, Doug, is a great bass player. And we used to just listen to that bass line over and over again. And so it'll really stand out when we listen to it on this track now. So here's See Your Sunshine.
She makes me feel glad. I want her so bad. My heart is beating madly for her. If you ask me why, say that I adore. Ooh, look what you do to me, baby. You're making me feel so fine.
So fine, so fine.
Step out in front of me, baby. They want you in the front line.
So fine, so fine.
They want to see your sunshine.
I think that tune has a lot of catchiness to it. It's got really cool background vocals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love those background vocals. Doo-doo-doo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just that, but his other background vocals are so fine. So
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
So subtle. And
yeah.
It's subtle in a way that most of the rest of the album isn't very subtle, you know.
Yeah. So. And it's very musically interesting and played very well. It's got I like the feel to it. And it's very catchy. It's got two different feels. You have that kind of the beginning, the doom, 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 and then it starts grooving a little more in the middle. So, big fan. I think this album starts out after you get past Dance Tonight. I think the next two tracks are really great with Ever Present Past and See Your Sunshine. So,
you know, I'm and when you we started playing it, I was like, why did I put this in full category? I had it really high on my almost full though. I think maybe some of the lyrics are little clunky.
Trite, yeah.
I adore, like that kind of stuff. So maybe that's what pulled it down to almost full. But very, very good. Very good.
Yeah.
So we'll move to the almost full category.
Yes.
And I'll start it out.
We would describe these as songs that are probably like a B+-ish maybe, or kind of like pretty good, or B to B+.
Yeah,
but not quite, big hits here or something not quite totally right about it.
Yeah. For instance, this song has a very strange refrain. You'll hear him singing Hidden in the Yard quite a bit. But the rest of the song, I really think is like really emotional sounding and. I love the drama of this one. It's House of Wax. So let's take a listen to a little House of Wax.
House of Wax.
Yeah, I really like it a lot. I like it's sort of semi-surreal lyrics to it. They don't really make a ton of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, Hidden in the Yard's a weird like refrain.
Yeah,
everybody think about Hidden in the Yard, but I like where the lyrics where it goes buried deep below a thousand layers lay the answer to it all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the music when that's playing, it's so dramatic. It's like very emotional. I really like it. I like the guitar solo, and the music to all of this is great. Mm-hmm. So House of Wax, a thumbs up for me.
Well, I'm going to hate to disappoint you here, because I put this one in the empty category.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
This is classic Dave. This is classic. Oh, this is classic Uncle Albert Dave.
Yep, it is. It is.
Doesn't like when there's great music and the lyrics don't make any sense.
Well, it's not even... I mean, it's more that I feel like it's just bombastically overblown. And just to me, just pompous for no reason. So,
Dave. Oh.
So this one I skip every time it comes up. So you point out a lot of good things. I like you're right about the musical production's really good. And I don't, Paul's surrealism, maybe it goes back to, remember we're talking about Press to Play and some of the, surrealist lyrics.
Sounds serious, but really isn't.
Yeah, it sounds serious, but yeah, that kind of
thing. I could see that, but this one really grew on me through many listens on the week, too. I just, think it's pretty, pretty good.
Maybe I need to give it that extra chance here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give it a chance and sort of, maybe take your mind off the lyrics and put your mind on the, I love his vocal performance on it, too. Yeah. I really think it's pretty good.
Well, good you mentioned that, because I think Paul's voice, this is the last album that sounds good to me. Like, his voice sounds pretty good. By the time it gets to New, you can really hear the deterioration, I think. But on this album, he's really strong overall. And so, he does put a good production in. And he liked that tune because he did perform it, so... I know it was a favorite of his, so I'm sorry, but
empty. I just can't believe it.
I know.
I can't even believe it.
Maybe almost empty. I could be persuaded to move it up for the musical quality.
Pretty good.
But anyway, one of my examples from the almost full category would be Only Mama Knows. Mama Knows. This song reminds me of very Wings-like. I think it's got that kind of riff, kind of like a Junior's Farm or Soily or one of those rockin' mid-70s tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, this is where Paul takes that idea of being a different character. So he's stranded in the transit lounge of an
airport.
An airport or something. So he's trying to be someone else, and I like the chorus, and it's just a good rocking, convincing performance, but it's a little bit, to me, a little generic, but still really good quality.
Yeah, I had it in the almost full as well. I think the song sounds great. I like the rock of it. I also sort of, at first, that string thing at the beginning is kind of grating.
Yeah.
But... when it comes back later in the song,
right,
in the middle of the rock stuff, and it fits. It's sort of like a great trick. So like, we're like, whoa!
Like when he's saying, you got to hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the string thing comes in. It's like, very, very well done.
Yeah.
I think that it was just a slight missed opportunity. I like the idea of, so you've been stranded. I think he could have connected it, made it a little more universal.
Mm.
In some way about being lost or feeling lost at different points of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, it's sort of a weird, like, this old guy singing about being a kid, I guess. Being
lost. Something, yeah.
And he keeps saying this godforsaken town and stuff, but he's at the airport, right?
That's true.
So it doesn't quite make that much sense.
Yeah.
But once again, he's just telling a little story or something, and he called it a novelette.
Yeah.
But it works. It works because it's a pretty rocking cool song. And yeah. I think there's a couple live performances of this that you find, and of House of Wax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You might want to look up the House of Wax, Dave.
Yeah. So anyway, what's on your next for Almost Full?
Okay, well, my next one for Almost Full, and this is, we're starting to get into a range where these could have dropped to Almost Empty, and a couple of the Almost Empties could pull up to the Almost Full.
Mm-hmm.
But I put this one in Almost Full, and it's Vintage Clothes.
Something's changing fast. What we are is what we are, and what we wear is vintage clothes. Vintage clothes. Vintage clothes. We jump up for joy. Who cares if we look like a ghetto boy? What we are is what we are, and what we wear is vintage clothes. Yeah.
All right, a little vintage clothes. I like the sort of idea of it, the sort of things that were out of fashion coming back. Fashion sort of going around in circles, and maybe people, maybe careers going around. Like yeah. Maybe he's thinking like, oh, now I'm back in fashion.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Starbucks. I really, yeah, I must be back in fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really despise the group Whistle. Especially at this point, because we've had 10 years of group whistling. And it's just like, oh, geez.
The group Whistle.
But it sounds pretty cool. There are parts of it I like, parts of it I don't like. I don't really love the whoop, whoop, whoop sound. It's a little repetitive. So I'm a little torn on it, but I put it in Almost Full because it is a catchy tune.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. It is catchy. I think it's like a Mellotron or something in there. Sounds like a little from Flying or Strawberry Fields or something. So it is vintage in a way. I was confused by the meaning of the song because the lyrics right away are a little confusing. They're contradictory. When he says, don't live in the past, then he's talking about vintage clothes, and then I finally kind of put it together. So it took a little while, maybe a muddy meaning.
Yeah, yeah. Once again, it's probably a slight missed opportunity, just like the one we were just talking about, Only Mama Knows,
right.
Where he could have like really landed it and made it like, oh, this is really about something, but instead it's sort of like, maybe it's just about, and of course if you hear his interview, it's sort of like, maybe it's just he's thinking about clothes.
It could
oh,
be,
I like
I
clothes.
Yeah. It does fit well on the album because it's the beginning of that five song medley, so it gets things started well and well produced, but yeah, I think maybe a little missed opportunity on that one. So that's followed up by my next tune on the Almost Full Now we're going to move back a little bit in the album here with Mr. Bellamy.
You do. I like it up here without you. All right, Mr. Bellamy, we'll have you down soon. No one do tell me what to do, no one to hold my hand. Bellamy's got a lot to do, and I hope that you'll understand. Nobody here to spoil the view, interfere with my plans. Bellamy's got a job to do, and he's hoping you'll understand. Steady, lads, easy does it. Ooh, don't frighten him. Here we go.
I'm not coming down. So now to contradict you and contradict myself, maybe, putting this one in here, this is very Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey-esque, because it's got a mixture of different musical aspects to it. It's about a random person that he makes up who's going to jump off a building or something, and it's another story. But it's kind of a little bit weird. But I do like this one. I think it's really creative musically. And I like the different voices that he uses. He's got his low, kind of spooky voice, and then he's got the high, screaming Paul. He's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, this song is weird. I think you might be seeing this through horn-colored glasses. It starts with that horn, and I know it how does. Much you love the horns.
I do.
It's just like, I was like predicting, oh, Dave's going to like this more than I do.
I like the orchestral stuff to it. Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a huge, and when he's talking about the thing, he brought up Eleanor Rigby. I think there's a huge difference between Eleanor Rigby, which is like a very poignant and like about something that everybody understands in life.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is feeling lonesome. And this, which is just like nonsense about a nutty person. But as you mentioned, in the great tradition of a rock show and the opening to listen to what the band said, here's another Paul character.
Yep.
This Halloween-y Cockney accent. Like we're in some dumb musical. Hey, carry on. Easy does it. Also from the interview, a quote is, I've just fished around for a name. Came up, oh, Bellamy. Oh, yeah. So I had that in the, if you can't tell, almost empty.
Yes, I figured.
Almost empty.
Okay.
But not quite empty. I do like some of the musical stuff and, you know, the horns and the clarinet. And,
yeah, the clarinet's nice on there.
Pretty nice. So
yeah.
Well produced. But I just think it's a bunch of jibber jabber.
It is.
Yeah. Easy does it. Do.
Steady, lads. I'm curious what you have up next now for Almost Full.
Well, I put an Almost Full, which is one of these bonus tracks here.
Yes.
And I think we'll probably agree on this one. It's Why So Blue should have been on the album proper.
Yep.
Let's have a listen to it.
Staring from a cardboard castle down and out, one of life's young students finds out what it's all about. Paper flutters, angry taxi drivers shout. From the pages of a paper, candles shine on a perfect table laid for two who love to dine. They suggest a highly recommended wine. Once again, the same old line. Why so sad? Young friend, why so blue?
fine. I can't for the life of me make out why this didn't make the album, because it's just a real great song. I like the relaxed vocal. I like the imagery, and it sort of it fits the theme. It's sort of like he's passing some wisdom to a younger person who's like this was probably triggered by he sees young people being very upset by stuff and can't quite make out what's going on. But where it's just a knockout is the music. It's just musically much, much, much more interesting than certainly the two songs we'll both talk about when we get to the Empty.
I'm sure. It's the case, again, we've talked about this before, how Paul sometimes doesn't listen to himself and take the best tracks and put them on the album, because this is definitely a standout to me, and it should have been more than just a relegated to B-side bonus track kind of thing. So I like the music. The chorus to me sounds very George Harrison like, actually. It reminds me of something George would write, "Why So Blue?" in that sound. So I think it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have another one for Almost Full?
Yes, I have two more. Okay. Two more for the Almost, and the next one would be That Was Me.
That was me at the scout camp in the school play, spade and bucket by the sea. That was me. That was me playing conkers at the bus stop on a blanket in the bluebells. That was me. The same me that stands here now. And when I think that all this stuff can make a life, it's pretty hard to take it in. That was me. Well, that was me, Royal Iris on the river, Mersey beaten with the band. That was me. Yeah, that was me, sweating cobwebs under contract.
So continuing with the theme of nostalgia, in the medley and on this album, you have this song, That Was Me, and the me in the song is Paul, and so it is actually a real pretty autobiographical look back at things, and so he's talking about a lot of Liverpool concepts and ideas, like playing Conkers, which is a game, some of the places in Liverpool and Merseyside. He's talking about playing in, we assume, the cavern, so with playing in the cellar with cobwebs on TV, and so it's back to him. And
oh, and then he really gets into it.
Yep.
Like, oh, that was me!
That was me!
I can't even believe it!
Yeah, he screams there. So I like this one. It's good feel. Very catchy and great bass part. Really great bass part. So it fits well. Again, it's not doesn't stand that well on its own, but in the medley, I think it works well.
We're disagreeing more than ever.
Oh, wow!
on this album, I really don't like this song. I have it as a Almost Empty.
Oh, wow!
It's probably towards the bottom end of my Almost Empties too. It just seems to me to be a recitative of vague one-liners flashing through his youth that don't really tie together at all, and I don't like the early rock and roll style for it. It sort of grates at me a little bit. And I think like this, the idea of singing about that era was done much better on the album New on the song On My Way to Work. Like that gives me like great imagery in my head. This is sort of like jumping around so much I can't grasp on to anything. And then I really don't like the stuff. So so kind of a skipper for me, but to each his own.
fair enough. Yeah. This is good. This is more interesting than I was expecting here. We got some good disagreements. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my last Almost Full, and this one, again, sometimes is sometimes it hits for me and sometimes it doesn't, is Dance Tonight, or that song we heard to open. You know, it's like, obviously you wrote it for the mandolin. I really don't like the whistling, like I mentioned. I don't like the dull keyboard and lead parts. A bit too straight of a song. But it's, if you heard it live, you'd be like, oh, this is refreshing. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I like the interview that he said, oh, you know, just a fun one so that we could all sing along with it and not get too deep.
Yes, yes.
So, which is my issue with it. It's a little too straightforward of a song. But I do like it. It's not bad that he sings it well and he plays it well on the mandolin. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that all
just
makes
barely
sense.
And almost full to me.
I put that one in my almost empty category for some of the same reasons you mentioned. I thought that the fact that it was written for his 3-year-old daughter and that she really liked to dance to it was kind of a tell-all about the tune. And it's at some catchy moments, and maybe a minute too long, I would say. Probably go back to the chorus one too many times, but it serves its purpose, and it is a little bit different from Paul, so I like that fact of it.
Yeah, I think this is in that phylum of, kids are around.
Yeah.
Great one to put on for the kids.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you got some kids, little Dance Tonight's definitely appropriate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
For the mix and for them learning how to play simple music.
Yes, I'm gonna test it out on my nieces and see if they like it see if they start dancing to it. So
I've exhausted my almost fulls. Have you got one more?
I have one more, yes, and it's the last proper track on the album, The End of the End.
At the end of the end, it's the start of a journey to a much better place. And this wasn't bad, so a much better place would have to be special, no need to be sad. On the day that I die, I'd like jokes to be told and stories of old to be rolled out like carpets the children have played on and laid on while listening to stories of old. At the end of the end, it's the start of a journey to a much better place. And a much better place would have to be special, no reason to cry.
Well, so, mercifully, we stopped there before the whistling.
Yes.
Again. Yet more whistling.
Yes, which is not necessary on this tune. So this is unusual for Paul, I think, because it's a very serious song, a very serious topic. I read that he wrote this while he was playing his father's piano in his old house in Liverpool. So a lot of connections there to looking back at your life. I do like the lyrics to this one a lot. I think he spins out a lot of the lyrics like the images in them, like a rug or rolling up like carpet with stories coming out. It's very circular. And I think that's really positive. And like I said, we don't hear serious songs from Paul very often like this, talking about your mortality in an interesting way. So apart from the whistling, I think it's a good song and gives us a different side of Paul that we don't see very often, a vulnerable side.
Yeah, I mean, it's an odd song. It kind of misses the mark for me. I've had it in the almost empty. It's supposed to be this semi-uplifting song about death.
Yeah.
But to me, it sounds just a little drab. And the music isn't that great. of course, the whistling we mentioned. And I was worried that if he dies, that they're going to play this song a lot as like the example of his music. And then I was like, no, they're not going to do that.
No.
What am I talking
about? No, they won't.
What am I talking about? It's very strange of talking about this song on the interview because he goes into his listen to what the man said character.
He does.
And he goes, no one gets out of this alive, baby, as the man said. It's so weird. Like, what's going through his weird head?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I like the idea of it more than the execution of it. I just think it's a little, to me, it's just a little too much of a downer.
Yeah, yeah.
And it forced him to put another song in the album. We'll talk about that.
That was an unfortunate consequence of it.
Spoiler alert.
On to the next category.
Yeah, Almost Empty. Now, this one has been tearing me apart all week, and I'll listen to it and I'll like some of the weird stuff on it, and then I'll listen to it again and I'll hate the whole thing, and then I'll listen to it a third and the last minute of this song has just been circulating through my head over and over and over and over, and that is Feet in the Clouds.
Teacher said I had my head in the clouds. They directed, I suspected, disconnected, had it my way. On the street I had my feet on the ground. Stood corrected, well protected, resurrected, had it my way. I've got my feet in the clouds, got my head on the ground. I know that I'm not a square as long as they're not around. But I find it very, 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 very hard. Yes, I find it very, very,
okay, that's part of a very odd kind of cobbled together tune called Feet in the Clouds, apparently about teaching, him not liking teachers when he was young.
Yep.
Well, just like everybody else.
Yep.
So not that deep of a song. The very, 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 very hard is a very weird sort of chorus to have. I do like some of the strange little musical elements happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the odd robotic vocal that comes on
right before we stop, or it comes right after where we stopped. Yeah.
Yeah. And they go into this thing and there's this background vocal and his background vocals there where he's going, ooh,
yeah.
I really love.
Mm-hmm.
So I like some of the music in this. And sometimes, like I said, that robotic, I'm just like trying to sleep and hearing like, like circulating through my head. So it's a kind of a weird earworm, but it's an odd song. It's not like the pacing of it's strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I can't make sense of it.
And maybe that's why it's on my list for the same category. It's a little bit of a miss, kind of juxtaposing two different things together, that maybe don't work, but they're still kind of interesting. The idea of your feet in the clouds, I guess, because you're upside down and not like everybody else, or you want to musically interesting. I do. It is catchy at the end, though, I have to say. So,
yeah, I agree.
So the next tune that I've got in my almost empty category, I think we may disagree on this one because it's been a contentious tune between us here. And I put the song Gratitude in the almost empty category.
gratitude, gratitude, gratitude.
I'm so grateful for everything you've ever given me. How can I explain what it means to be loved by you?
I'll say a few things in favor of the song. Yes, I think part of it's because we used to make fun of it because of the way he says gratitude is very amusing. But I think the bass on this is really terrific. Some of the musicality is really strong. And it's Paul trying to do his old school kind of Little
screamy,
Richard screamy
little
voice. Although he's in his 60s at this point. So I think there's something to it. It's catchy. It does stick with you, even if you don't want it to. Especially the ending does stick with you. So I think there's some redeeming things, but a little bit of a misfire. Too much going on. Very busy. Yeah, I know. I can't wait to hear your thoughts, because I know this is not your favorite at all.
It's one of the dumbest songs. I really think it's a really super dumb, not good song. I it grates on me. I don't like it. It's an empty for me, 100% empty. So I skip it every time it comes on. I race to skip it.
Oh, wow.
I just don't like it at all. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Gratitude or appreciate?
Ooh, yeah, pretty similar in some ways, aren't they?
Yeah.
Neither.
They're similar words.
Yeah, that's true.
Appreciate I kind of like better as a word than gratitude, because gratitude kind of seems like, thank you, I'm not worthy of this, you know, whereas appreciate you just like, you know what, I appreciate you.
That's true.
I like that word better.
Yeah. Well, do you have any others for the almost empty category?
Oh, I've got one great one to talk about here.
Yeah.
This is one of these bonus tracks, and this is the bonus track. I when we talked about doing this episode, I was like, Dave, have you heard this? Do you remember I've heard this song, 222? And you're like, what? No, I haven't heard it. And baby, we're going to get some sweet, sweet McCartneyisms with 222.
So, 222. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's 222. I don't know.
Yeah,
it
could be. So, I put
haven't heard you talk about this one.
No. But you're right. This is it's kind of an interesting, like a cool groove. It's in 7/8.
So
like very asymmetrical and rhythmically fun. But the by far the best part about it are all the little McCartneyisms that he's tossing off, like the taking my breath away.
Turning your head, look at him walking. And it's like, look at him. It's sort of like, it's, I don't know if it's a him or a her.
Yeah.
Look at him walking.
Very mysterious. Yeah.
Yeah. Very strange song. And it's sort of like there's not much to it.
No.
The song.
No, it's just a riff. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's kind of cool. I kind of like it.
I do too.
I had it pretty high in my almost empties. I was almost going to put it as an almost full, and I was like, no.
No, I can't.
I can't do it.
I can't do it.
There's nothing to it. You're like, look, I'm walking. So hilarious.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. So to wrap up our collection here, I've already given you one of my empties, which was House of Wax.
Yeah.
And so the other two, I imagine, we share. And we can start with In Private.
In Private, I had on almost.
Okay. Okay.
It is forgettable and also annoying.
I said it was a nothing song. There's not even a song.
It's not even anything. But since it's a bonus track, I give it the slight push up above empty. We won't play it.
Yeah.
It's no even sense in playing it.
Not worth it.
It's not anything.
No. It's not even a song, hardly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thankfully, we both are going to wholeheartedly agree. And I want to say this might, for me, be... Ooh, it's way down there. I don't know if it's the worst Paul song that there is.
It's down there.
Like when you said the end of the end closed the album proper. As if this isn't part of the album.
This is an Easter egg at the end of the album.
Yeah. It's definitely, it gets turned off if it gets, I almost don't even want to hit play.
I know.
But we'll listen to a little bit of Nod Your Head. He calls this, it goes into a more abrasive rocking thing.
Oh.
I don't think it's good to talk about difficult subjects, meaning the dreariness of the end of the end, and just get off it. You know, leave with an optimism. And I'm like, no, it has the opposite effect. It's very abrasive and terrible. Yeah. Knot it up, knot it down, side to side. Round and round. How do you knot your head round and round?
Does this get the Chris designation of a goof? Or
it's a dud. It's a flat out wholehearted dud.
Yes. Yeah.
It's real terrible.
Bad.
And this was a single too.
It was, I know.
What is he thinking putting this out as a single?
Well, because it's really dissonant and kind of rocking and trying to be hip with the kids, I guess. I don't know.
I like too that they were like, you know what would go well with this is let's get the James Bond song chorus orchestra in here.
Yeah.
And have them da, 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 really dramatic it up. It's one of the, I've always hated this thing so much.
Me too. It's unfortunate that the album ends that way.
It puts a real damper. The dreary song before it, that you like more than I do.
Yeah.
And then this, it's just kind of like, ugh, if those two weren't there, it would be up a notch probably for me. But I think this album's around a 6 for me.
Okay, I'm going to, that makes sense. I'm going to give it a little bit higher because I've lived with it a long time, so I'll probably say it's a 7. And on the basis of really the first half of the album has up through, up through Mr. Bellamy, those first 6 songs are pretty good, and then it's a drop.
Yeah, I would say See Your Sunshine, Vintage Clothes,
Ever-Present Past,
yeah. House of Wax, and Feet in the Clouds. Those four weren't really on my radar at all.
Yeah.
And now they are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
House of Wax, not too bad. See Your Sunshine's, like, real good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Only Mama Knows is all right.
Yeah. That's all right.
And the bad ones, there's, I mean, Gratitude and stuff. Fun to talk about them and make fun of them, nod your head.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's not, I was, when the album came out, I think I liked it. Once again, that mixing.
Yeah.
Album comes out, it comes in my rotation, in my shuffle, it just seems way louder than everything else.
You gotta turn it down.
Yeah, you gotta turn it down. So that's a black mark on it. So that and the couple of terrible songs put it down for six for me, but
yeah
it's not bad.
Yeah, so to go give it a spin and check it out on its 10th anniversary here. We can say that for another couple weeks. This will wrap it up for 2017. So been a good year for I've Got a Beatles podcast, and gotten a lot of interesting feedback and comments, and a lot of new listeners. So we are thankful for that.
Yeah, we're going to go into White Album anniversary year, and it's going to be interesting to see what great episodes we come up with.
Yes, absolutely. So
I don't even know.
No, we don't even know. But we are recording this on the day of the release of the Beatles Christmas colored vinyl. So if anybody went out and picked that up, let us know.
Yep.
Well, cool. Well, so we're going to go out with what?
Yeah, one of my favorites, of course. And we're going to listen to the last part of You Tell Me.
Where we there? Say, is it true? Was I really there with you? Let's see. You tell me. When was that summer of a dozen words?